And welcome to the Pastor's Cut podcast. We're recording this during spring break 2024, and I guess, Brad, we're the holdovers. We're the only two in the studio today. Everyone else is out having a great time.
The other two have school-age children.
Oh, that's right. And spring break actually means something now. So.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Anything? What are you doing for spring break? Anything? I just got choked up. I just ate a granola bar before I came in, so I got a little choked up.
But maybe you were missing your kids. I didn't know.
No. And I don't have the COVIDs. So what do you do anything good for spring break?
Not really. I mean, I'm playing for a wedding Saturday, and then I'm playing for an engagement party after that, and that's pretty much. I intend to grill something at some point.
But, good. Yeah. Yeah. So, are we doing the wedding together on Saturday? Saturday wedding here?
Yes.
Okay.
2 o'clock.
All right. I'll see you then.
Same wedding. Okay. Yeah.
Same wedding.
We should talk.
We probably should. We should talk more. Yeah, and my wife and I, we're going to get away for a couple of days. We love to antique and antique shop, but really it's more junk shopping. I love old pieces of furniture that need to be refurbed.
Where are you headed?
We'll probably go over to Rogers area, Rogers Fayetteville, and we've got a couple of shops over there we like. We're always looking for something that we can buy cheap and redo it into something nice.
Cool.
So that's the extent of our spring break anymore. That's it. So, all right. So I am rolling out today. This is just going to be me talking for a while. It's appropriate because I'm going to be talking next few months about loneliness. So here I am, all alone in the studio. And let me just share with you the impetus for this teaching series. This is meant to be a primer, just a starting place for those of you especially who are teaching and using the Pastor's Cut over the next several weeks. The impetus for this is I picked up a book, and I would highly recommend it, called Project Unlonely by Jeremy Nobel. And let me say very quickly, I don't advocate all of his social views, but his underlying premise that we live in a lonely culture and we need to do something about it, I agree with 1,000%. And as I was reading this book, my mind just started thinking about all the lonely people in the world and all the lonely people in Scripture, and this whole teaching series began to take shape in my mind. Unofficially, it's going to start March 31st, which is Easter. And we're going to take Peter in the wake of Jesus' crucifixion, his guilt, his shame, his regret, the isolation that he felt from the other disciples, and even the isolation, estrangement he felt from Christ and how that was alleviated. So that's going to be the unofficial launch. And then we're going to move through April and May, going through the Scripture and looking at the lonely people in the Bible, what they did next, and how God saw them through that time. So I think it'd be helpful. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a real quick flyover of the people we're going to talk about. But I think it'd be helpful to start and define loneliness. And it's one of those things that really doesn't need to be defined because you know it when you experience it. In fact, Brad, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. You know, can you think back? What would have been the loneliest time in your life? And I can remember, and I'll share mine on a Sunday morning, but we were traveling together as a family, and my family left to come back to America. We were in Europe, and I was going to stay behind for 2 weeks. And as soon as that train pulled away with my family, I felt, and I was unprepared for it, I felt the loneliest I'd ever felt in my life. Can you think of a time when you were lonely?
Well, and I wasn't alone? Does that count?
That counts.
Okay, so I had the good fortune, or maybe I was blessed. I'm not sure what the right term for that is, but some friends of ours, took me fishing to Ontario, and it sounded very romantic. We're going to get on a float plane, and we're going to fly 300 miles from the nearest town, and we'll be the only people on the lake. And they drop us off. We literally land on the lake, and they drop us off and say, here's a sat phone. If something gets hinky, give us a call. But other than that, we're out of here. We'll see you in 10 days. And when that plane pulled off, and you could hear nothing but loons in the wind, it was eerie. It's like, we are
alone.
Totally alone.
Alone. How about that?
Oh, my gosh. And I wasn't prepared for the spookiness of it. I got over it. We had fun. But initially, I'm like, wow.
It's unnerving. I feel a little bit of that every time I go to the monastery.
Yeah.
It's a little scary to go, okay, I'm going to spend the next 3 days by myself, and you kind of peer into the abyss of your own soul. it's unnerving. So we've all, in fact, if you're teaching through this teaching series in your community group, I would encourage you, for you as a leader, think about your loneliest time. Share that story. You're going to find that you're not the only one who's experienced that before. But to define the undefinable, loneliness is the gap between the intimacy we want and the intimacy we have. So we want a certain level of intimacy. If that's not met, if that's not what we have, that gap that appears there, and sometimes for some people that gap feels like the Grand Canyon. You can feel alone in your marriage because there might be an intimacy gap there. You can feel alone in your church because you don't feel like other people really know who you are or care who you are. You might feel alone in your workplace. You might feel alone in your neighborhood. You might feel alone in every venue you can think of in your life. In fact, many times leaders feel lonely because they are so overwhelmed by the stresses and strains of their job that no one else seems to understand. So it's that gap between the intimacy you want and the intimacy that you actually have and are experiencing. And that gap we call loneliness. And what loneliness is it's a need that we have. It signals a need that we have, that we're born with, for intimacy. Much like I have physical hunger, what does that hunger tell me? I was made to eat food. I have a desire to breathe. You stop breathing for about a minute, you're going to really want to do that more than anything else. We have a physical need for air, for oxygen. We also have an emotional need for connectedness, for people, and that loneliness is that hunger for the reality of what we need. So let me do a flyover of what the next few weeks, the next 2 months are going to look like as we talk about loneliness. By the way, as another resource, the Surgeon General recently released a report on loneliness. And pretty much just to summarize that report, loneliness is lethal. Loneliness has the physical effects of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. I mean, it's detrimental to our health. And the fact that the Surgeon General has issued statements concerning loneliness should be a signal to what we are experiencing in our culture now, especially in a COVID-era society, in a post-pandemic culture. So here's what we're going to go, where we're going to go in Scripture. We're going to start with Peter on Easter Sunday and talk about loneliness that's associated with guilt and shame and regret. Then we're going to move from there, and we're really going to just peruse some of the high points of Scripture when it comes to lonely people. We're going to start in April. We're going to deal with the loneliness of the leper that Jesus met in Mark chapter 1. Many people who are ill and who feel sick are isolated. Pain has a way of painting you into a corner where you feel like you're the only one in the world that hurts this much. So there's the loneliness and isolation that comes from illness. Then next, we're going to look at King David. There's a scene in 1 Samuel chapter 30 where everything about his leadership goes sideways, and his men were thinking about stoning him. And David really does epitomize the loneliness of the leader at the top. There's always a sense in which nobody else understands what it's like to sit in that first chair until you do it. And David, what he did with his loneliness, I think, is rather telling. Then we're going to look at a very seldom talked about woman named Hagar in the Old Testament, Genesis 16. Now, some of her loneliness was self-inflicted, right? But as she is exiled from her family, she encounters God in a way that was new and refreshing to her. In fact, she is the first person in the Bible to give God a name. And so I believe that there's only some things we can discover about God when we discover God is all we need, when we discover He's all we have, right? Then the one I'm looking forward to the most, so we'll cover the leper and David and Hagar. Then we're going to talk about John the Baptist. So as he nears the end of his life, he's isolated in prison. In Matthew chapter 11, he starts rethinking everything he had stood for up to this moment. You know, he said, "Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what he says when he sees Jesus. Now he's in prison, and he's saying, "Are you the one we were expecting, or should somebody else be coming?" And so in his loneliness, John became very confused. It is interesting to study conspiracy theories in our culture. Not the theories themselves, because let's be honest, most of them are just crazy. Don't mind saying that out loud. There's a lot of crazy things out there. But why did conspiracy theories ramp up during COVID? Because people were alone. And loneliness, you're willing to compromise your mental faculties in order to have an emotional connection with other people. And so I think a lot of the conspiracy theories that we see running rampant in our culture is just a product of loneliness and people wanting to belong, right? John here wasn't thinking straight. His loneliness had twisted his thinking, and he wasn't seeing Christ clearly, and he needed to be reminded of who Christ was, even in the midst of his loneliness. Then from there, we'll go on and we'll talk about Ruth. We'll cover Ruth chapter 1, Ruth and Naomi, and the loneliness that comes from loss. Ruth and Naomi both lost their husbands. And in fact, Naomi lost not only her husband, but her sons. And so oftentimes grief gives way to loneliness. Then we'll talk about Job. I don't think we can go through a teaching series on loneliness without dealing with Job. And Brad, he was exactly like you described earlier. He had people around him. He wasn't alone. He had, and I want to put friends kind of in air quotes or scare quotes, but he still felt very much alone, even though he was surrounded by people. And then last but not least, certainly not least, is the loneliness that Jesus experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane, that the teaching series will culminate with him. That and this is where we'll where I'm going to give a few comments here before we sign off, but I don't care how spiritual you think you are or how spiritual you want to be, loneliness is always going to be a part of our human experience. And in fact, loneliness can also be an avenue through which we can experience becoming more like Christ. He experienced it himself. So to become like Christ, we too will experience it. So just as a walk away here, and this is meant to be just a short primer of a podcast as we get into this teaching series, let me give a couple of disclaimers, and one I've already alluded to. Loneliness is not unspiritual. If you feel lonely, don't doubt your salvation, don't doubt your intimacy with God. As you can tell from the list I've just gone through, even some of the most spiritual people in the Bible experience loneliness. It is a part of growing in Christ-likeness and learning to rely on God, and the fruit to be had from loneliness is sweet and substantial. So it's not unspiritual. Second, loneliness is not unnatural. Don't think that there's something wrong with you as a human being. In fact, that hunger reaffirms what the Scripture teaches us, and that we are not meant to live and to be alone. So it's not unspiritual, it's not unnatural, but here's one last thought. Loneliness does not need to be unending. And I would encourage you, especially as a leader, would you look around in your community group? Would you look around in the church? See people that are lonely, pull them in, be nice to them, ask them about themselves, start to build a relationship, because there are people who come to church because they are lonely, and they need to know that there can be an end point to that, that they can connect in a right relationship with God and be connected in healthy relationships with other Christians. In fact, that's the way we glorify God in all we do, through loving God, through loving others, and through serving the world. And not to say that we won't experience seasons of loneliness, but it's not the way life is meant to be lived. So let's look at these people in Scripture. Let's see the loneliness they experienced. Let's see what they did about that, and let's see what God did next in their lives. So that's about it. Brad, do you have anything? You have any questions, any thoughts that have come to mind while you're sitting back there alone in your little sound booth?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
And I do have to say this, that as an introvert, loneliness is not something I deal with a whole lot, because one of my favorite things to do is to have all day Saturday where I'm just alone and I'm working in the yard or I'm working on a project around the house. I love being alone. But even that has its limits as an introvert. When my wife's out of town and I'm, oh, great, I can 4 days around the house, I can just do all my projects that I want to do. And about day number two, I'm thinking, I'm pretty lonely. I need somebody else around. That's the way we're all geared, whether introvert or extrovert. Okay, so community group leaders, jump into this. Do some reading on loneliness. I would recommend the book Project Unlonely by Jeremy Novell. See what the Surgeon General has written. Do your own research. Tell your own stories. And let's look at these people of the Scripture and how what they experienced can help us become more like Christ. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. And may God grant you peace, now and forever. Amen.